But despite all the wonderful things that are happening, that have happened recently, the new birth and that's going to come tomorrow, Lord willing, and the new marriage that was joined yesterday, we've got to put all of those wonderful things out of our head just for a few moments tonight as we study God's Word. Because what we're going to be studying tonight is extremely important. We're going to be continuing our study on 2 Peter, and we're going to be looking at 2 Peter, the second chapter. Although I don't want you to turn right there right quick. I want you to turn actually over to Matthew, the 7th chapter. We're going to be looking at this from a different angle. In 2 Peter, the 1st chapter, Peter ends the 1st chapter by saying you can count on what the gospel is. You can count. You can trust in the account that we have given you because we are eyewitnesses. What 2 Peter is all about is talking about those people that will come in among them. Come in among those Christians there that Peter was trying to shepherd, that Peter was trying to be an elder for, and take them away. That there were going to be people that were going to come into that situation. And really, every congregation there is going to face this situation where people are going to come in and they're going to try and bring people away from God and worship other gods and worship other idols. So, for our time to begin this study, I'd like for us to start by looking at what Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew, the 7th chapter. Matthew, the 7th chapter, if you would, read with me verses 15 through 20 and notice what Jesus has to say here. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. Here on the Sermon on the Mount, in one of Jesus' most powerful lessons, he tells us that we need to be aware of false prophets. He calls them false prophets here, but he tells us today to be aware of false teachers. And he tells us that they can be identified, what their end will be, and encourages us to avoid them at all costs. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight. We're going to be looking at how to beware false teachers. And I want us to understand before we go any further that we're not doing this just so we can feel superior about ourselves, as some might say, but so that we can honestly look at what these people have to say. Look at what many in the world believe. They will follow after these false teachers, and they will be led away to hell. As Christians, people who love, honestly, truly love other people, we should not want that to happen. We should want other people to be aware of those false teachers and where those false teachers are taking them. So I want us to keep that in mind as we go through this, lesson. We're going to ask three questions tonight as we go through this lesson. And the first question that we're going to ask is, why discuss false teachers? We've already touched on this a little bit, but I want us to notice that there are four different reasons why we should discuss false teachers, why we should discuss what the Bible has to say about false teachers. And first and foremost, that we need to understand is that the Bible absolutely talks about false teachers. They talk about false prophets. As we already said, Jesus talked about false prophets, false teachers in Matthew, the 7th chapter, verses 15 through 20. And really, he talks about false teachers throughout his entire earthly ministry. Moses, the great teacher Moses, the lawgiver Moses, in Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, as the children of Israel about ready to go into the promised land for the first time, he tells them to beware of false prophets. And you can know and give them a test to determine who's a false prophet and who's not a false prophet. If what they said comes true, they're a false prophet. Or if what they say comes true, they are a true prophet. There we go. That makes a lot more sense. And you should listen to them. If what they say doesn't come true, don't worry about it because they're not from God. You don't have to listen to what they have to say. But Moses talks about it. And here in 2 Peter, the second chapter, Peter talks about false prophets, false teachers. If you would, turn over there and read with me what verse 1 and really, let's read all verse 1 through 3. Verses 1 through 3. Peter says this in 2 Peter, the second chapter, verses 1 through 3. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Inspired writers like Peter here talk about the Judaizing, in this particular instance, the Gnostic teachers who have crept into the church at this time. And really, in every age, there are going to be people who are going to come into the church and try and lead them away, try and lead the church away into apostasy and lead them into destruction. It talks about it in the Bible, and therefore we should talk about it as well. Another reason why we should discuss false teachers is because they are everywhere. You know, it's easy to turn on the TV and see people like Benny Hinn and Jimmy Swaggart, who are obviously false teachers, and people that are running around with practically signs around their neck saying, "Hi, I'm a false teacher, follow me to hell." You know, those people are easy to see. But not all of them are easy. Actually, most of them are pretty hard to see. A lot of them are pretty difficult to see because they have a little bit of truth in what they say. And then they go off and do whatever else they want to do. They say whatever else they want people to say in their own agenda. Not all of them will be that easy. Notice again in 1 Peter 2, verse 1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Peter says that these false teachers who will come into the congregation, who will come into the church, they will come in secretly. They will not be easily identified. There are going to be people that are going to come in the back. They're just going to, and I'm not saying that about anybody in the back few rows. I'm using an illustration. Apologize. But they're going to come in. They're going to creep in. They're going to be unnoticed at first. They're just going to grow. And they're going to grow friendships. And they're going to slowly lead people into apostasy. I was reading a book recently, and the author of it said that apostasy doesn't happen overnight. It's something that happens gradually. And obviously, or definitely with a false teacher, apostasy is something that will take place over a long period of time. It is imperative for the New Testament church to be on the lookout for these false teachers, these people that come in secretly with their destructive doctrines, so that we not be led away from the truth. Another reason why it is important is because false teachers are destructive and harmful. Did you notice in 2 Peter the first chapter, or 2 Peter the second chapter, verse 1? Did you notice there what it calls the things that the false teacher brings? It calls it destructive heresies. And their destruction in verse 3 does not slumber. False teachers are going to have a bitter end, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. But Peter calls what they bring in destructive heresies that deny the Lord. And these bring divisions upon the congregation. These bring divisions within the congregation. If you notice, verses 18 and 19, read those with me. Verses 18 and 19 of 2 Peter 2. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. These destructive heresies, these false teachers, bring division within a church. The people that are staying within the church, people that are staying in the truth, those people are going to be the ones that are going to be with Jesus. Those people are going to be the ones who have escaped and are going to keep escaping the pollutions of sin in this world. However, the ones that follow after them, they're going to fall right back into the mud. They're going to go right back to the vomit, as it says here later. That's not something that's pleasant. That's not something that's good for anybody. And it's going to bring division within a church. And absolutely, if we don't want this church to divide, we should definitely be on the lookout for these false teachers so that they don't bring their swift destruction upon us as well. We need to understand that this is very serious. This is a very serious issue because God is going to judge us all according to His truth. Not what I have to say or not what some false teacher has to say, but what God has to say. In John the 18th chapter in verse 38, when Jesus was on trial before Pilate, Jesus says, this is the truth. And Pilate responds, but what is truth? Jesus actually answered that question earlier in John the 14th chapter in verse 6 when he said, He is the truth. He is the way and the truth. And it is that truth which will set man free, according to John the 8th chapter in verses 31 and 32, set him free from the sin, the bondage of sin, the bondage that Peter was talking about here in 2 Peter 2, verses 18 and 19. And it's that truth which will judge us on the last day, according to what Jesus had to say in John the 12th chapter, in verses 47 through 50. And as you can tell, there are a lot of good reasons why we need to discuss false teachers and why we need to discuss this subject time and time and time again, because it is so very important, not only to us today, but to those who will come after us. So we need to discuss this. Well, the second question I think we need to ask is, what do we need to know? What do we need to know about false teachers? And the first thing that we need to know about them is what they teach. Now, don't worry, we're not going to go through every single false doctrine that there is out there. That's not what this lesson is all about. However, I will say this. Every single false doctrine that is out there, every single false doctrine that is out there does what Jude 4 says it does. If you would turn over there and look what Jude 4 has to say. Jude has to say to us in Jude 4. He says this, For certain men have crept in unnoticed, for who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who do what? They turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Every false doctrine turns the grace of our Lord, of our God, into lewdness, into something that is disgusting and perverted. God has planned from the very beginning that there are going to be two different eternities for man. One eternity is one with Him in heaven, and the other is an eternity in hell without Him. And because each individual has sinned, they have separated themselves from God. That is what Isaiah 59 verse 2 says. And our sins bring upon us a spiritual death according to Revelation 21:8. And if we have this sin upon us during the judgment, when Jesus finally comes and calls us all to the judgment, then we will die. We will be in hell eternally. And I don't want that. I know you don't want that. I don't want that for anyone else. And I know you don't want that for anyone else's either. But unfortunately, that's going to happen. Luckily, the infinite, wise, and loving God foresaw that we would sin and be separated from Him. Even before the foundations of the earth were laid. If you would, turn over to Ephesians, the third chapter, and read with me verse 11. Ephesians, the third chapter, and verse 11. Notice that this mystery was revealed according to the eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus, our Lord. This is why He gave us commandments to follow. We see that in Genesis, the second chapter. This is why He made covenants with man, and which are incentives for us to follow His commandments. And we see that in chapter 12. That is why He sent Jesus to teach us how to live, to establish a new covenant with Him, with man, to die on the cross and to raise again and to send back into heaven. That is why all of these things happen, so that we can have a life with Him, an eternity with Him in heaven, that we wouldn't be bound by the bondage of sin any longer, but so that we could have an eternity with Him in heaven. That's why we have our Bibles today. That's why He sent the Holy Spirit to guide the apostles into all truth, as John 16, verse 13 says. That as they wrote down what they were moved by the Holy Spirit to write, according to 2 Peter 1, verse 21. That's exactly why we have our Bibles today. And if one follows God by obeying His commandments, entering into this new covenant, which He set up through baptism into the blood, they will be given the crown of everlasting life in heaven, according to Revelation 2, verse 10. That is the gospel. That is the message that Christ died to bring us. And any departure from that is a destructive heresy. Something that turns the grace of our God into lewdness and leads people into their swift destruction. Especially the destruction in the day of judgment. Paul tells us just how serious this is in Galatians, the first chapter. In Galatians, the first chapter, in verses 6 through 9. At the beginning of this letter, he tells the Galatians, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you into the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But if even we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Do not follow after false teachers. Do not follow after anyone who has a different gospel than what has already been given to us in this, in our Bibles, in His Word. False teachers teach another gospel, which is not another gospel, because it is not good news. It's not good news because it leads people to hell. We can't allow that. Something else that we need to know about false teachers is how they teach. And I wish we had more time to go into this, but I'll make this quick. They are scoffers. If you would, turn over and read 2 Peter 3, verse 3. They are scoffers. Peter says this, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in these last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Denying the promises that God had made, the promises that Peter talked about earlier in 2 Peter, the first chapter in verse 4. By which, notice in chapter 1, verse 4, by which we have been called, or by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises. False teachers deny those exceedingly great and precious promises, the promise of God, the promise of the coming judgment, which we'll talk about more next week. They scoff at that. There also is 1 Timothy 4, verse 2, and 2 John, verse 7 says, liars and deceivers. People who are trying to deceive you. Not people who just got a mistake, got something wrong. You know, I've said some wrong things here in the past from this very pulpit, and I was corrected on them, and I apologize for those. That was not my intention to be deceptive in any way. However, these people are liars. These people are trying to get you to follow a different path. And there also is 2 Timothy 3, verses 2 and 4. They are called haughty boasters, slanderers and mockers, as 2 Peter, as we already saw in chapter 3, verse 3. And also in 2 Timothy 3, verse 3. And in Jude 8, in Jude 10, and Jude 18. They're slanders and mockers. People who will go, you know, anybody who really follows what the Bible has to say, or, you know, that's not really what the Bible says. The Bible's really just sort of this, you know, Jesus is this wonderful person that just want to just, you know, come as you are and just you can stay as you are. That's fine. And they slander and they mock anyone who believes what the Bible really teaches. And if that wasn't enough, Jude 16 calls them grumblers and complainers. People who are always constantly going, oh, well, you know, if we did this, this would be a whole lot better. You know, rolling a piano, let's have a bake sale. I mean, then we could get things going, you know. Always complaining about things. How the way, you know, oh, you know, if we didn't have to follow the Bible strictly, then, you know, we could really get some good work done for the Lord. It's all destructive heresy. Basically, what these people are people who need to keep their mouth shut. They are people who speak evil of things without understanding them. If you would, read 2 Peter 2, verse 12. 2 Peter 2, verse 12. Notice. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption. These are people who speak evil of things that they just don't understand. And at times you have to ask, well, really, do they understand the Bible? Because that's what they're really speaking evil of. Do they really understand God? That's who they're really speaking evil of. And also, very quickly, I want us to notice how these people act. In 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, in verse 2, and in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, in verse 4, it is evident that these people love to sin. Turn over with me to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Read what Paul says. 1 Timothy. There we go. That makes a little more sense. Actually, starting in verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. And turn back to 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, in verse 4. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, in verse 4. That they are traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. These people love to sin, walking after their own lusts of unclean things, as 2 Peter 3, verse 3 talks about, as Jude, verse 16 talks about, as 2 Peter 2, verse 10 talks about. They're covetous people. If you would turn back to 2 Peter, the second chapter, and read with me verse 14. Continuing on from what it said in verse 12 about these false teachers. They have eyes full of adultery, and that they cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices, and they are cursed children. Do you see that? They're covetous. They have their hearts trained on covetousness, on evil, on wickedness. That's what they're constantly thinking about. And as just a verse earlier talks about, they carouse during the day. And in verse 13, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you. And they despise all forms of authority. Notice verse 10. And especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They are presumptuous, self-willed, and they are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, of people who are in authority. They despise all forms of authority, whether it's God Himself, or the laws of the land, or parents, or teacher at school, or boss at work. They despise all these forms of authority, thinking that they know what's best. This because they want to do what they want to do. I definitely appreciate Kobe's prayer this evening. How he said that we should want to do what God wants us to do. And how we should pray that He helps us do what God wants us to do. You know, when you look at that type of person, you have to ask, why would anyone follow someone like that? Well, I'll tell you why. It's because they're sneaky. Not all false teachers are going to come in, or not all false teachers are going to be on TV asking for your money, or like I said, wearing a sign that says, I'm a false teacher. Many of them are a lot sneakier than that. Look at how these people get others to listen to them. In Jude 4 and 2 Timothy 3 verse 6, they creep in unnoticed. In 2 Timothy 3 verse 5, they have the appearance of godliness. In 2 Peter, as we already saw, 2 verse 1, they secretly bring in these destructive heresies. And did you notice in verse 14? Read verse 14 with me again. In verse 14, about halfway, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable soul. They're going to be targeting the ones who are unstable, who they perceive to be unstable, before they try and attack anybody else who is grounded firm in the faith. That's who they're going to go after first. And they're going to get like a majority to go with them, to where it's not just them, but a crowd around them. It's a whole bunch of different people that are saying the exact same thing that they are, even though they're not saying the exact same thing that God wants them to say. And they flatter those people, as it talks about in verse 18. They flatter those people and everyone else in order to gain a foothold. And those unstable people who have what Paul calls in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, in verses 3 and 4, itching ears will turn to them when they get tired of hearing the truth. It shouldn't be too difficult to see how destructive false teachers are. They are just so dangerous in what they teach and where they're leading themselves and other people. And yet, they're even more dangerous in the fact that so many people don't realize just how dangerous they really are. The last thing that I want us to talk about very briefly is, what applications do we need to make? What do we need to do now that we have this information? Now that we've looked at this? Well, first and foremost, the thing that we must do always is study our Bibles more. We need to give attention to reading, as Paul told Timothy to do in 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and verse 13. And we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, according to 2 Timothy, the 2nd chapter, and verse 15. And as we do that, we need to meditate upon those things which we've read, according to 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter, and verse 15. And we need to do all of this so we can more easily recognize false teachers when they creep in among us. When they say things like, you know, I don't see anything wrong with instrumental music. That should perk up our ears. That send up red flags, because that's not what the Bible says. When they say, you know, all you have to do to be saved is just believe in Jesus and say the sinner's prayer. That's not what the Bible says. Those red flags need to pop up in our mind. We need to go, I don't think that's what the Bible says. We need to definitely be aware of these false teachers. The only way we're going to do that is by studying our Bibles more. Also, we need to study so we can preach the truth in season and out of season. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, in verses 1 and 2, to preach the word in season and out of season. You know, if you have to rebuke somebody, that's what you got to do. If you just teach somebody, that's great. If you have to correct somebody or reprove somebody or just instruct somebody, do what you have to do so they don't fall down that destructive path. We need to study so that we can preach all the time. And notice that we don't just need to preach the gospel, but we need to do it in the way that Jesus did it. According to Mark, the 6th chapter, and verse 34, we need to do it with compassion. Knowing that the person that's bringing these things up, these false heresies, these destructive heresies in to our congregation, the false teacher that's teaching somewhere out there, they're a lost soul. Somebody who is precious to God, who's erred away from them. We need to have that same compassion Jesus did when he looked out over the people and saw them as a flock without a shepherd. Not that we are the shepherd, but that we bring them to the shepherd, the good shepherd. We need to have that attitude that Jesus had as we preach the gospel, as we preach the truth all the time. We also need to act like Jesus, not just speak like Jesus, not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. We need to act like Jesus. In 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, in verse 1, Paul commands, encourages the Corinthians to imitate me as I imitate Christ. The point is not that they imitate him, but that they imitate Christ. That it is no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. That they all have that attitude, that we all have that attitude of Christ living in us. And that it is evident that he is living in us by our fruits, by the things that we do, by the things that come from living like that. That we have the same humble attitude, that same humble obedience that Paul talked to the Philippians about. In Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verse 8. We need to always do this. We need to always do this in order to keep our focus on heaven. If you would, turn over to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. A passage we've looked at several times, and I'm sure it's not going to be the last. But in Hebrews, the 12th chapter, read with me verses 1 and 2. Hebrew writer says this, therefore we also, Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to keep that focus in our minds always. We need to keep that right in front of our face. That needs to be the carrot that's hanging out in front of us. That we get to heaven. That we focus on getting to heaven. That we focus on Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne of God saying, "Come to me. Hurry up. I've got good things waiting for you." We need to do it even to the point of ridding ourselves of everything that gets in the way of that goal. Especially those destructive doctrines that swiftly bring their own destruction. Well, I thank you so much for participating in the study with me tonight. This is what Peter was encouraging the people in 2 Peter 2 to do. To be aware of false teachers, to note them, to look out for them. Because they bring this destructive doctrine. Because he was not going to have much time left with them. He wanted to leave them with the truth and make sure that they avoided false teachers. May we always strive to avoid false teachers and false doctrines because of the destruction that they bring. As we close tonight, I'd like to leave with one passage. If you would, turn over with me to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Yeah, I'm asking you to get your Bibles back out. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Let's read verses 21 to 23. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your names and cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' If on the day of judgment you want to hear Jesus say to you, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness,' then please, by all means, follow a false teacher." No, I can't say that. Because I don't want to encourage you to do that. Because I want everyone on that last day to hear the words of Jesus. As he says, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into my joy." So as we close, why not ask yourself the question? Why not build your life on the rock that is the truth of Jesus Christ? Why not be obedient to the gospel? Even tonight, have faith that he has the power to save. That have the belief that if you repent, if you confess him before men, that he will confess you before God in that last day. That he will be your advocate in the day of judgment. That if you are baptized and come in contact with his precious blood, that you will have the remission of your sins. Why not make that decision tonight? Why not even right now as we stand and as we sing?